Cerebral Talk and Tunes. Broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories, this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's your next hour of commentary and music.
But we just need one night to apply the good pressure.
Hey, you're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. I'm trying to keep this very quick. I have a very exciting episode for you today. Last weekend, I went to Redgate Art Society to check out the spring market of Good Stank Mart. Good Stank Mart is an artist market that celebrates local independent artists in Vancouver, and it's organized by James of the printmaking studio Good Luck Studios and local illustrator Jared, aka Stank Daddy. I interviewed several artists and chatted with them about their practices, philosophies, etc., and that's going to be the show today. But before we dive into it, a disclaimer, Redgate is poppin', okay? It is a poppin' venue. Lots of people are moving around in the space, they're jamming, they're, you know, working it in there. So there's going to be background noise and even some background music. There's also going to be some other audio issues. I've tried to do what I can, but I suck at using a Zoom mic. So yeah, that's just what you need to know for today. So let's get into it. In the first half of today's show, you're going to hear my conversations with Jyotika, aka Jyotikart, on Instagram, and Geza, aka I Need a Break to Create, also on Instagram. But first, here's Good Stank Mart organizers James and Jared. Enjoy! Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm here at the spring market of Good Stank Mart, held at Redgate Art Society. I'm here with the organizers, Jared and James. Hello, how are you doing?
It's going good. Good day. Nice rainy old day.
Yeah, I've been doing good. Right at the tail end of the market now. It's been a good day. Hope everyone's been selling a lot of stuff. Yeah.
It's a really great time. This is my first time coming, and I hadn't been to the space before, but I entered it, and it was, like, really popping. I was like, yes, this is a good day to be here. So tell me a little bit about how you guys came about with this event, because it's been going on for, I guess, like, at least once every season for a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
It started in the park, didn't it?
Oh, yeah,
it did. Yeah. Yeah, so us and me and Jared and one of our other friends, shout out Danny, we just wanted to start selling some of the stuff we've been making, and so we just went over to Dude Chillin' Park, set up some blankets, and just were selling clothes and stuff we designed, and yeah, that's how it all started. We sort of wanted to get it, like, and then we wound up finding the space at Redgate here, and then that's when we really started doing the markets on the regular. Yeah,
because also people were charging a crazy amount of money to get a table for these markets, which we didn't want to pay, and we thought we'd just go to a park and set up for free, and yeah, that's what we did. And so now we're doing our events, we make him more affordable for people now. So like $20 a table, and we feel like that's perfect for our emerging artists wanting to get their names out.
And honestly, Redgate has been really good about us, like, helping us be able to keep it affordable. So like a big shout out to Redgate for letting us use the space for these markets.
Yeah, definitely. That's been the common theme when I've talked to people about them tabling here. It's like very accessible and very community minded. I also, something that I heard from a lot of folks was it was their first time here boothing. So I think actually almost everybody who I talked to said that. Is there like a process to selecting like who is going to join and stuff like that, or?
No, we have a sign up we put up on our Instagram and all that, and whoever is like kind of like first serve, first come first serve, and we pick the people off who sign up. And this time we are trying to fit everybody in, this market right now, we have the most people we ever crammed into this place, and it seemed to work out perfectly fine. And we still have some of our regulars, and we got some new people, in which it turned out great. Everyone's killing it.
How did you come together as a team, I guess, other than, I don't know, let's go beyond homies in the park.
How did we meet? Through Ethan?
Yeah.
We had a mutual friend, Ethan, and then Ethan, I was printing t-shirts and stickers, and then Ethan, I think that's, is that how we met? I'm pretty sure that is.
Ethan was my my zine maker, because he was working at the print shop, and it was nice, because I was working at Nuba at the time, so I'd, like, trade him, like, falafel wraps, or, like, a 15-pack of beer for, like, my zines and all that, and then, We were doing that for years, and then he quit the print shop. I remember that. And were you working in the print shop?
No, I think he told you to message me because I was printing stickers or something like that. Yeah.
And then, and Nuba is just behind Redgate, and I remember James would be here, and I'd just be there, like, working. And so then it'd be really easy, and then, I think that's how it kind of went, because it's through Ethan.
Yeah, I agree.
Tell me a little bit about your art practice, James.
So I run a screen printing business. I print t-shirts and stickers. I moved out to Vancouver 5 years ago. I was living in Tawasin before, so it wasn't that big of a move. But still, I moved out here, and honestly, I print t-shirts out of Redgate. And so that's how I kind of got involved with this community here. And honestly, I just really love working with, like, local bands, artists, like, you name it. It's just great to be a part of this local community, printing a lot. Yeah.
How did you come about making a screen printing machine thing?
Oh, when I was, I watched some YouTube videos. I thought it was easier than it actually was, and I built it in my woodshop class. It didn't work. It kind of worked. It worked for like a while, and then I just wound up buying one. But yeah, I don't know. I've always like done woodworking and stuff like that, so it just seemed like a project I could do. And it wasn't, but I'm happy I tried. When I was in high school in woodshop class, I built my first press, like a screen printing press. I'm 30 now, so that was like 12, 13 years ago. And I just basically taught myself. Like, I have a bachelor's degree in philosophy, and then I did a graphic design diploma. And then I've just always worked in the print industry, got pretty tired of working for other people, and now I'm self-employed and loving what I do every day. It's a lot different from, like, I've always worked with, like, digital art forms. Like, I went to graphic design school, and printmaking, it's like a very manual, there is computers involved, but, like, when you're actually printing, it's all just kind of, like, it's a very, I don't know, it's super tangible, it's right there for you, you know, it's like, you can just, you're putting artwork onto, I do a lot, mostly garments, like, I barely consider myself an artist, but, I guess I just like doing it.
I think one of the things that makes your art very iconic, Jared, is there's this, like, very fun satirical take on things that are, like, kind of authoritarian and kind of conservative. Tell me about your approach to making that kind of satirical art.
Yeah, it's funny with that. My whole art practice, it's different because I need to... At first, I get a quote or something about cops or something like that, and then I'll base it off that. And then... So most of my art revolves around, like, skulls and all this stuff, and... I don't know, it's hard to explain. I see a funny quote, I'll draw something to go with it, and that's what I've been kind of rolling off of the past few years, and it's worked.
That's very fair. The thing that I really liked the most at your booth today is, if Jesus comes back from the dead, I'll kill him myself, or something like that.
Kill him again.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. A lot of what you work with, Jared, I think are like really like stark black on light, on like light colored, big contrast colors and big contrast colors. What am I trying to say? Like a lot of contrast in your artwork in terms of like the inks and things like that. Like a lot of black work, I guess.
He's a bold guy.
He's a bold guy, oh, yeah. How did you come about developing that style?
When I started, I would draw it on with a pencil and a paper, and then I would scan it, this old scanner I used to have, and then I would put it into Illustrator, and then I would fill it in Illustrator, and that's just like just with blacks, and then I was still learning the whole computer and how to do my stuff online. And so I guess it just kind of started off my process of doing it that way. Because my old stuff had no color in it. And it was just, yeah, it was just black and white, which I liked. And then, yeah, slowly I started adding color into my art, which very little color, I would say. But, yeah, I think it just comes from my old process of just from the paper with ink and then scanning it and putting it on the computer. I just liked how it looked.
And have you always been drawing?
Yeah. I've been always drawing all my life, so. And yeah, it's been good.
What is the future of Good Stankmark going to look like?
Well, we're going to first take over Vancouver, and then I guess the rest of the world, probably.
We're only 2 years old.
Yeah, we're only 2 years old. We're just trying to keep this thing going on the regular. We're trying to get it a bit more organized. Like I said before, we started doing this just as like the homies hanging out in the park. We're trying to do like bigger events. Like last year, we did the Good Stank Stampede, which was we rented out a different venue. We had raffles. We had like bands playing
first
in the
annual.
Evening. Yeah, that was the first annual. We're going to be doing another one this August. In July, there's a skateboard competition that asked us to organize a market there. So we're just trying to let this thing grow and, like, yeah, like you've mentioned before, like, just focus on the community, get some up-and-coming artists the exposure they deserve.
So for people who are looking to check out more of your art, for both of you, separately, together, however... where can they find your work and how can they support it and such?
I'm on Instagram. That's always the best way to reach me. I'm goodluck.studios on Instagram if anyone wants to look me up. Do lots of custom printing for people. I'm always trying to post what I'm working on and stuff like that. Yeah, and then I guess our collaborative account is just Good Stank Mart. That's the event we're at right now. We if anyone wants to ever participate in the markets, honestly, just give us a follow on Instagram and keep an eye open. We always do a shout out whenever we're planning a new market, and anyone can apply. We try to get as many people as possible in, and we always try and get new people who haven't done our market before a spot. Yeah.
Do you want to give your contacts, etc., a shout out, Jared?
Yeah. Instagram is stinkdaddy_, and then I have a website. www.stinkdaddy.com, and that's basically it.
I'm here with Driftica. Hello, Driftica.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing good.
That's good. So tell me a little bit about your art practice.
Yeah, so I've been making art my whole life, and often I use things that I find around the house, so like recycled materials. I make a lot of art around themes of like healing and my identity, so around disability, exploring my experiences as a woman of color, as a queer person. Those are the themes I usually work around. I've journaled a lot of my life. Like, I journaled from when I was 12, and I always made visual art and wrote things and listened to music and wrote music. And I think as I got older, it kind of came together around exploring my own identity, because I was already doing that with my writing, but I think incorporating my collage and like different mediums into my art was a natural part of it. And also as I did my own healing work and studied social work and was part of like activism and organizing and connected with the queer, trans, Black, Indigenous, people of color communities that I'm part of. I think that my art just has grown with me. Yeah, and I'm also an expressive art therapist. And as I've done that training, definitely I do lots of healing artwork with folks, and I do it for myself as well. Yeah.
That's very interesting. So do you find, speaking about like kind of your more, the other artist, or the side of you that does art directly with other people, what is that relationship kind of like with regards to developing your own personal practice and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of separate. I'd say the art that I do, that folks do, like in a session or in a workshop, is kind of its own thing. It's kind of its own like entity and has its own meaning for folks when they're doing it. And the work, the art I do, yeah, it's kind of separate, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Very interesting. Can I ask what, where the giggles are coming from?
I don't know. Just trying to, like, I'm like, oh, my own art practice. It's interesting to talk about it because I've always just done it. And to it's interesting to think of the timeline of it and, like, how it's grown. It's really cool to think about that. So I think I'm just trying to process it while I'm talking to you in terms of, like, how has my art practice grown? And, yeah, what does it look like now? And it's also amazing doing arts, expressive arts with other people, because I just never know what's going to come. And I get to do... Yeah, I get to do art with, I predominantly work with people of color and queer folks and trans folks and non-binary folks, and like giving people space to make art is just the most beautiful thing in the world. I love it so much, and I get to support folks who maybe have been told they're not an artist or that they like don't know what they're doing, to just be like, let's play and like use our imagination and see what's there, and there's no wrong there. You can just, it's just exploring.
Yeah, I really appreciate that that note that you just made about working with people who might have been told, like, no, you're not an artist, like, what are you doing, that kind of thing. I've found hanging out with other people and personally myself, like, a lot of the times when we're younger, that's, like, kind of where, like, we're exploring a lot of our creativity and like, other skills and things like that, and then it's so easy for us to get kind of shot down into adulthood. I've known a lot of people who are just really convinced that like they can't make art at all, whether or not it is good or expressive or says something. What is it like teaching adults to tap back into that creative potential?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. And I really I hear what you're saying, and you know, that happens. I talk about this in my workshops and with folks, that it happens because of so many things, because of trauma, because of life experiences, that we get disconnected from the play and the imagination and the identifying as an artist, and that we think, oh, that's not viable, I can't make money off of it. All these things come, right? And it kind of stifles a lot of people. And so to just give people the permission to play and just give them art materials and things maybe they've never used before or things they haven't used since they were kids, it's the best. It's the best. And the work I get to do is like supporting folks to connect with their body and like understand sensations and connect that to baby trauma or feelings and experiences that they've had. So I love my work a lot. Yeah.
That sounds really wonderful. One of the things that I noticed at your booth here at Good Stank Mart, and something that I really kind of resonated with, were there's a lot of work around healing and also about processing grief. Can you tell me a little bit more about that work?
Yeah. I found when I did my expressive art therapy program, I had a big, huge grief thing come up in my life. And it was such a beautiful space to help me process that. Every class we were doing art, we were exploring themes, we were in our bodies. And so, particularly one of the zines you saw was like holding, moving, and transforming grief. So I worked a lot with what does it feel like in my body and what does it mean to like hold on to these things and how can we let them go? And a lot of exploring for me around grief doesn't just happen when someone dies. It happens around a lot of different things, a lot of life experiences and disappointments. And I talked a lot about that in my zine too, and kind of was feeling out that process. I've also done different workshops around grief, so arts-based spaces for people to explore their own grief. And it's just like connecting in with body and like asking, what does my grief need right now? What am I missing? What am I holding on to? Yeah.
That's really beautiful. I really love that. I really love how intimately you hold grief as a concept. I would totally agree. Like, grief isn't just something that we experience when somebody passes. It could also be like the ending of a relationship or reconciling with the fact that, like, let's say, for example, like a thing that you wanted to do is not going to happen.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, in my reading too, when I was experiencing my big grief, it was like, what did I read? It was like just the loss of something. Grief is loss. And so it's like figuring out how to deal with that and cope with that loss, which we're not taught and we don't talk a lot about in our societies and communities and cultures. So a lot of people are really hurting. Yeah.
On the flip side of that, of course, there is the healing aspect. Talk a little bit about how you explore concepts of healing.
Yeah, I think what it is when people get the space to talk about and make art about and create about the parts that hurt, the parts that are silenced, the parts they feel shame about, the healing can come. It's like a doorway into sharing things that they just maybe have felt a lot of shame about or felt embarrassed about or just didn't even know how to process. And I in my work and also in my own practice, I've found when I've just given people space and given myself space to work through things and actually feel my feelings, there's some sort of like transformative healing effect that has. Yeah.
That's very beautiful.
Thank you.
I really enjoy I don't know, meeting people who like explore those feelings of healing and also grief. I don't know. Maybe this is like my emo kid coming back out or something like that. But I really love feelings about grief and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there is a listener or a few out there who are interested in knowing a bit more about your work. So, how can people best support your art practice?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Jyotikart. So Jyotikart on Instagram. And feel free to check out my website. It's got all of my info on there too. www.jyotikahealingarts.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jyotika.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm here with Geza, who is a vendor here at Good Stank Mart at the Spring Market. Hello, Geza. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Can we talk a little bit about your booth? So I saw that there is a lot of like art made from stuff that were already found. I guess found items. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I rescue and upcycle everything. I do believe that we already have everything and we don't really have to buy more stuff. So I'm just taking some time to look around and see what is out there, what I can reuse, and just create some new things and make it maybe more interesting or change the personality of the item. I also use environmentally friendly products. I use paints that are from a brand that is founded and led by all females, and they work together with female artists. I choose very consciously what I use and what I create. So initially, when I first started making art, I started with larger pieces, mostly furniture that I refinished. And then same idea, I thought we already have enough tables and dressers. I just wanted to change the energy of the piece to then bring good vibes, good juju into people's lives, and maybe even be able to change the vibe of their home, give it some like fresh vibe, and help people create a space where they feel they can be their best best selves, yeah. And then I started making smaller pieces like home decor because I thought we can actually apply the same thing for smaller items, and it's so easy to pick up a colorful planter or a photo frame and just put it in your house, and it just creates good energy.
One of the pieces that really caught my attention was the bird in a purple window, mm-hmm. I guess. I really love that. Can you tell me a little bit more about how you came to create that?
Yeah, sure. So I found that one at a thrift store. And I really like the art piece because it's like very delicate paper cut. I think it's an art form from, I don't know, like a long time ago. I know my friend's grandma makes it, for example, but I don't really know anyone that makes it these days. So I found it at a thrift store and it was all beige, and I thought it just needed to be purple. It kind of just spoke to me, and I took it apart. It was way more difficult than I thought it was, so I also learned some stuff in the process, which was great. Yeah, and then I just like went in and made it purple and added some like cool blue and silver highlights, and now we have a purple bird.
That's very cool. I also appreciate like the varied types of media that you use in your practice. So have you always been using found items? And what other media and art are you exploring these days, or would you wish to talk about?
I haven't been making art for very long, to be honest. It's been less than 2 years. I used to be very artsy until the end of high school, and then I went to university for political science, and the artsy part kind of got buried in the process. And then since I started, everything I have painted or refinished has been upcycled. I've never bought anything new because I just don't think we need that. Honestly, like there's so much waste and people throw out so much stuff, and I think that's just a terrible idea for the environment. And there's so much cool stuff out there that just needs a little bit of new life, and we can make it exciting again. As for different mediums, I think I will finally start painting, maybe this year. One of my studio mates has been encouraging me. I've never really thought about that. But I think that's going to be the next step for me.
That's going to be very exciting, I imagine. I really enjoy, I really like your vision in your artwork. I don't know. Maybe this is a little bit of a tangent, but like one of the reasons why I appreciate it so much is like you know how there's like all this like AI art stuff these days. Yeah, it's very strange in my opinion, and it kind of takes the joy and also like challenge of the actual creation part and the thinking part of art out of art. Right, so I really, I don't know, from my personal view, I really dig your perspective of basically being like, okay, you know what, like, we don't even have to try to, like, make something new. We can actually take what we have and then give it a remix, give it a spin. I don't know, I really enjoy that.
Nice. I appreciate that. Yeah, I totally believe everything is already there. We can give it a little twist to make it into something different, and then maybe 10 years later something else is going to come of it, you know, like someone else is going to pick it up and change it again, which is totally fine. But yeah, I agree, the whole AI thing is obviously kind of on my mind as well. I think it takes the soul out of making art, because I make art for myself, right? Because I like who I am when I'm creating. It just brings out the best in me, honestly, and I want to like p- pass that on, like, into my pieces,